Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mary G., your Abundant Knowledge host, and I'm thrilled to have with us today Dan Walschmidt. He's a speaker, author, and extreme athlete. And without further ado, I'm just going to let Dan tell us about his story, because he has a lot to say, and it's really interesting. Welcome, Dan. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks
for being on the show.
Doing well. It is true. I always have a lot to say. That second part is the kicker. Sometimes it's interesting, you know, sometimes not. So, but yes. So I think one of the things I wanted just to bounce off with you. That's the wrong word. But discuss.
Start bouncing.
I don't know. We'll find the right word. Is this idea of people are looking generally for answers. That's why they're listening to your show here. That's why they're hiring speakers, reading books, kind of grabbing onto authors that they like. People are looking for answers. And one of the things I wanted to kind of encourage people listening is this idea that more times than not, the answer is probably the ugly thing or the hard thing or the uncomfortable thing that's usually sitting in front of you. So maybe I can be somewhat vulnerable and just talk about some of my own personal experience. But in a few years ago, I wrote a book that became a pretty big bestseller. And along the way of writing a bestseller and, you know, building a consulting company, I was shared some intimate details about how I struggled with depression and suicide and some negative thoughts that have always, despite being successful, kind of always been in my head. One of the things that came about of that book was I became known all over the world. It's being translated now into Korean and Ukrainian and Russian and Spanish and just a bunch of really neat stuff. I'm flabbergasted because I'm still thinking, wow, this is pretty incredible stuff. But
and I think
way,
that
I
now
doing...
it's a good time for you to share the title of the book.
Oh, yes, thank you. It is called Edgy Conversations. And for us, we looked at 1,000 ordinary people in writing the book. I'm saying we, it's really me, but I, you know, had a team of writers and, editors and designers who would draw pictures and stuff. 1,000 ordinary people who achieved outrageous success, like companies, people who, despite the odds, achieved greatness. And those are the people that I always wanted to hear about, because I would read business books and it would be like, you know, you need to learn X. You know, you need to hire great people. You need to have good accounting. You need to make sure your legal contracts are in order. They'd give me all this advice. And I would think, man, I must be an idiot because none of this seems to apply to me. I mean, yes, I need accounting. And yes, I need legal. And I need to do everything top shape. But how does it help me grow and prosper? And how does it help me keep my priorities straight between a business person and a family person? So I went and interviewed these 1,000 people looking for that answer. And I came away with this idea that there were 4 qualities I saw in every high performer time and time and time and time again. So, like, you know, I may not be the smartest person in the world, but you see this 1,000 times, it kind of slaps you right upside the face. And those 4 qualities spell out the word edgy: extreme behavior, disciplined activity, a giving mindset, and they were human. Of course, I spell human with a Y, like Donald Trump says huge, we say human. And those 4 qualities are what I saw time and time again between people who achieve outrageous success versus a lot of other people who just seem to stay stuck. And I'm sure you've got friends, right, who just – there's that one friend who, like, always – no matter what's going on, they've got a problem, right? They've always got an issue. And, you know, you –
and you really want to hang around with them, don't you?
Not for long, right? Because the first few times you try to solve their problem, right? And then you realize,
exactly.
Oh, okay, there's always going to be a problem. There's always going to be a – but I found actually there was a group of people who we're looking for answers but not really sure how. And for those people who were committed to being better, just really beat down, you know, not sure what to do, this roadmap became their kind of playbook. And that playbook, again, extreme behavior. What does that mean? It means you're willing to do more than anyone else around you. Sometimes it means hard work. Sometimes that means looking like you're weird. You're the weirdo, right? It's about disciplined activity. There's a lot of people who say, oh, I can't get a job, or, oh, I can't do this, right? This doesn't happen for me. And it happens for everyone else, but not for me. But then when you start digging into it, you realize, man, you're really not disciplined. You're not following up. You're not following through. You're making promises you aren't delivering on, right? You say you're disciplined, but really what that means is you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and you work from 9, you get off at 5, you get up at the same time, you go to bed roughly at the same time. And so you feel a little bit disciplined, right? But that's not discipline. The third part about giving is, yeah, right? And you've met some people like that. And by the way, sometimes this is me. So I'm not just pointing at other people and go, look at you. I'm saying this is stuff I have to continually work on. The third part is giving value. And in our digital era, however you say that, in our digital 2016, it's really easy to say, oh, I sent you a picture, or, oh, I Snapchatted you, or, oh, you can download my free white paper. And we don't necessarily think about the value, you know. Here's a plate of cookies. Here's a smile. Here's a conversation. And I would challenge all of us, because I learned this, and it was tremendous, whether it's Steve Jobs delivering an Apple computer to market, or Michael Dell, you know, letting you go online, hit a button, customize your PC, and have it drop shipped the next day. I mean, think about that. Before Dell, no one was customizing PCs. It was like, you got a PC, and that's it. You get to get small,
it was a phenomenal,
medium, or large.
It was a phenomenal idea that really took off.
It did. So giving value, how do you give value? So people might say, oh, I'll customize it for you, but it's going to cost, you know, three times as much. And Dell just said, look, I've got a factory. It's built up. You want A plus B plus C. I throw it in a metal box, add some power to it, bing, bang, boom, gets to your house the next day. So what can we do to give more value than people pay for? That's a important question. If you're looking to get promoted or looking to make more money or looking to feel happier, whatever it is, what value can you bring to the world? What value can you bring to your boss? What value can you bring to your partner or your kids? Like, what can you do? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because when you actually execute on that, whatever the answer to that specific question is for you, you become this thing called valuable. I sound maybe I'm a little harsh. I don't want to be harsh, but I often talk to people who will say to me, or I'm in a room full of people, I just don't feel valued, right? So people say this, I'm not valued. And by the way, if you're married or in a relationship at all, like, this is important, right? How do you value each other? But let me throw a different sort of topic at you, or a different idea. The goal is not to feel valued. If you want to be happy and successful, whatever that means to you, by the way, I don't get to decide what happy and successful means to you. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. It's not about being valued. It's about being valuable. And that's kind of the cool thing about giving, is that when you give to others, you instantly become valuable. And if you give something that's really awesome, you become even more valuable, right? And so what can you give? How much can you give? How many times can you give? And how awesomely can you give, so that you become valuable? That's a really neat lesson. Some of the
And don't
most...
expect anything in return, like you say,
yes,
in your book.
Yes, so that's right. Giving isn't trading, right? Giving is not trading. Giving is giving. And so what can you give? So, I know the last lesson we learned is about being human. And, you know, your brain is just wonderful. Wonderfully magical. It does all of these crazy things that keep you alive and keep you mostly happy, right? You get frustrated and upset, but this brain that powers you can also be wonderfully irrational, right? And from seemingly out of nowhere, you're all upset, or someone you've met is all in a tizzy, and you're like, what happened? And it's important to realize that things like pain and love and fear have a much deeper impact on your life and on your results and on your happiness and on how successful you are than just about anything else. In fact, what we know from studying the brain, which is really cool because over the last year, a lot of additional research has come out where we can learn from fMRI scans. They put like an X-ray almost next to your head and watch blood flow as you do different things, and you can see how your brain is impacted by decisions you make.
Wow.
Well, I think that's been awesome. Yeah, it's really awesome. As we see, is that, you know, there are things that are so subconscious you wouldn't even recognize it. So, for instance, if I walk up behind you and you're sitting in a chair and I poke you with a pen, 0.3 of a second before your brain even feels fear or pain, right? Before the nerves tell your brain, ouch, 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 your arm is already moving away.
Mm-hmm.
How does this happen? It's somewhat magical, right? You're not even in pain yet and your arm is already moving away. It's because you've got this amazing complex, trillions of neurons firing, which keep you alive and happy. And often in business, and by the way, I'm not a neuroscientist, but I'm wonderfully fascinated by all of it. In business or in life, we often say, well, it's black and white. Look at it. Here it is. You should get it. You should see it my way. I don't understand what your problem is. And what we forget is that behind every one of those situations that seems irrational is a story. And maybe someone's been hurt in the past, adopting the idea you suggested. Or maybe someone's going through something in their life personally, and so you bring this great idea that doesn't sound so great because they've got something going on. And often, if we're not careful, we'll write people off, we'll talk down about great opportunities that could be amazing simply because we're not understanding kind of the irrational side of pain, love, and fear. I think people who write books now call that emotional intelligence, right? How aware of you are you of your own emotions and aware of how it impacts other people. So I just figured this out. It took me 4 years and a lot of work, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. I kept coming back to the same sort of insights and philosophies. I kept kind of stumbling across these same things that some people might call it love. I might call it emotional intelligence. Someone might call it compassion or sympathy or empathy. But it was all this central idea of, you know, understanding human behavior and appreciating the fact that someone has a bad day. They may not be a bad person. They're having a bad day. And if I want to truly impact them for the better, then I need to be aware of that and help them, not just lob grenades, emotional grenades at them, right? And say, you fix it. You always do this. You never get it right. Why do you always do this? That sort of thing doesn't help. By the way, what we've learned from studying emotional intelligence, this is crazy, but you'll, when I say it, you'll instantly recognize it. 95% of what separates successful people from unsuccessful people is what this idea of emotional intelligence, that people who really, really rise to the top understand human emotions and use them to their advantage. So someone like Steve Jobs, when he stands on stage and says, okay, we're all done, but I have one more thing. And immediately your heart speeds up and you're like, what is it? What's going on? What's happening? And he delivers it. When we hear a story of triumph or comeback, immediately, what do we feel? You know, like, wow, when Ronda Rousey gets kicked in the face and gets knocked out, we go, we feel something. No. We love her, right? Like, what happened? She became the standard bearer for all women in the UFC. I mean, she was amazing. And so it's like we feel these things. But often in business, we don't let our processes, we don't let our path to success include those feelings, right? We strip them out, which I'm only going to make wise decisions. And we forget, but that's just not how success is created. It's created by all the ickiness and grittiness and confusion and chaos and frustration and paranoia that comes with being a human. By the way, not to be cheeky, but no one says you're a human doing. Right? No one says you're a human doing.
Nope.
We say you're a human being because it's not what you do. It's not the black and white stuff. It's the things you feel that really have massive impact on whether you're successful or not. So that's a really long answer to a very short question you asked me about what I've learned and what I've uncovered. Right now,
I want to ask you another question.
Yes.
What inspires, motivates you, and keeps you going?
The amazing stories of people who continue to achieve despite the craziness that's going on in their lives. So I love reading. I grew up reading. There was no TV in my home for 18 years. I had to read a book a day, practice the piano an hour a day, practice the violin and other instruments as well. And I love
hearing
stories.
You make your children do that now?
Well, we have a TV in the home, but they have to practice the piano. Yep, 20 minutes twice a day, each of them,
good.
My two boys. And so I think some of that music and art connects over into, again, getting in touch with your feelings.
Exactly.
But I just love hearing,
I agree.
I love hearing stories of biographies. I love biographies, autobiographies, timepieces, you know, where someone's sharing a story. Because you know what I come back to? Sometimes, and I believe it or not, I was actually feeling this way this morning. I had a really, really rough morning. I mean, I felt like every call was like, are we stupid? Are we incompetent? Like, what is going on? What is happening? And I'm angry, and I'm, you know, I got the wrong coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Like I said, not the sweet creamer. I'm driving down the road. I take a sip. I notice it is the sweet creamer. I'm like, come on. Like, what is happening, man? You know, I'm all upset and a tizzy, and it's like, listen, calm down, Dan. Calm down. You know, you're spiraling out of control unnecessarily. This is what happens. This is why we call it life, right? You're not in the simulator.
And you're the one in control to stop spiraling.
That's exactly right. And I had to talk myself down out of some craziness because I'm known to be a little extreme. And I had to just say, look, it's not the end of the world. You're frustrated over your coffee. Meanwhile, there's millions of people, perhaps close to a billion people, who don't even have clean drinking water to make coffee if they wanted to. And so you put it in perspective, you're like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be so angry about this stuff.
Definitely.
But I get inspired. Go ahead.
Definitely a great lesson for people listening because we do take things to an extreme sometimes, and we have to focus on what other people are going through. And realize that, you know, it's not the worst that's happening to us.
No, it's not. And you're not the only one that's happening to. That's another lesson I think I learned when I read great books or listen to great speakers or, you know, try to improve my life for the better. It can feel like you're all alone. Like, I'm trying to lose weight, and it never happens for me, and this is horrible and hard and I don't know why this, you know, your kind of thought process is, why is this happening to me? And the reality is when you read these rich stories of biographies and autobiographies, you learn how hard it is, how other people try and fail and try and fail and fail and fail and try and fail. And the fact that they, you know, they get brutalized sometimes by friends and family and people who are supposed to believe in them who go, yeah, come on, why don't you get a real job? And so often when you're by yourself, maybe you've got a startup or you're trying to pivot your business or maybe you're trying to make your marriage work or trying to figure out how to raise kids, whatever the challenge is, whatever you're trying to be successful at, you can kind of, at the end of the day, just take a big sigh and go, whew, man, you know, like I must be doing something wrong. No, you might not be doing anything wrong at all. It might just be this thing we call life. Life, right? So,
with a capital L.
That's right. So I can't help but read these stories and get enriched and feel like, you know what, I'm normal. Having problems is normal. By the way, one of the mistakes that leaders, entrepreneurs, idea people make, they'll sit down and try to write a plan. By the way, if you're listening to this, if you don't have a plan, well, that's just foolish, right? Sit down and make a plan. How are you going to get from A to B? It might be paying off your debt. It might be getting promoted. I've got a friend who emailed me this morning and said, after 2 years, I'm going to stop complaining about it and go try to find a new job. They've got a 35-year career. They hate their job. They've been whining about it for 2 years. They're finally going to get a new one. Great. How do you get from where you are now to where you want to be? You need a plan, okay? You need to figure out. Maybe you're someone who pays $200 a month on cable. and you've got 970 channels. By the way, I always tell people jokingly but somewhat seriously, if you've got more cable channels than you have dreams, well, maybe that is your problem right there, right? Maybe that's your
pretty good.
Your so, you know, you're someone who goes, oh, I still want to watch my favorite show. I got it. So maybe we swap out your $200 a month cable bill with a $7 a month Hulu or $8 a month Netflix. Maybe you're someone who goes, you know, I got to have, you know, this fancy car. Well, maybe instead of, you know, getting that fancy vehicle you need to purchase, you go lease one for $200 or $300 less a month, right? Or maybe for a couple months, your family only has one car. So, and again, this is about the intensity of how much you want to get to where you want to be. For one whole year when Sarah and I were married, when we had young kids, we only had one vehicle. And she would drive the kids, put them into private school, drive me to work, pick the kids from school, pick me up from work every day for a year. And I got to tell you, that was really, really tough on her. There were days where she was like, just take the car and go. Like, I don't want to drive anyone anywhere at any time at all. Go. But after a year, I turned around and wrote a check in cash or check, I mean, for in full for a new vehicle. So that was what.
And I hope she got the new vehicle.
She did, actually. Go girl, right? She totally did. She was a Ford Explorer XL. So, yeah, totally got it. But
good guy.
And she loves it. She loves it. But I think these are the choices we make when we talk about getting to where we want to be. It's like, oh, it's so hard. It's so frustrating. Look, there's a reason why we call it, you know, the high road, right? Because it's up a level or two from where you are now, and you got to take your game to that level before you can even start getting a little bit closer where you want to be. So these are some lessons that I keep learning, and I'm sharing with, you know, large companies across the world, communities. I've spoken in 14 countries over the last year and a half, you know, sharing these kind of insights with audiences to say, listen, you know, if you're serious about success, whatever that means to you, then there's a couple action items that you need to do, and you do need to be extreme, which for many of us means you need to put in more effort. Just sometimes it's an extra hour a day. It might be an extra 15 minutes a day. It might be instead of being distracted, you put in 30-minute Pomodoros. By the way, if you're not familiar with the Pomodoro method, go look it up, right? It basically means you turn off all of your distractions, bells, whistles, put music in your ears, and for 30 minutes you do one thing. Maybe it's writing the next chapter of your book. Maybe it's making 20 cold calls, whatever it is. You put your earbuds in and you do it for 30 minutes. And when 30 minutes is done, you're done. You're done. The timer goes off and you go back to doing something else. And I think, maybe you like doing things like listening to podcasts during work, or you like to kind of multitask, but you realize you're not getting closer to where you want to be. You're falling behind. And when you're serious, then you take some of these small methods and apply them and improve on a daily basis.
That's phenomenal. Now, I want to give the audience an opportunity of getting your book. How can they purchase your book?
So, tell you what, if you go to edgyconversations.com and you'll see the book, you'll see there's T-shirts and notebooks and pads and all kinds of stuff. And if you send me an email at dan@edgy.bz, dan@edgy.bz, and send me your address and your name and say that you were listening to the show, I'll actually send you a signed copy of the book for free.
Now, audience, you can beat that. So take him up on it, because it's worth every word that he has written. Now, on the Be Edgy, 5 Ways to Your Limits. I love those 5 ways that you've written in the book. May I quote you on it, or you want to go ahead?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Number 1, understand the fears that drive you. Number 2, demand extra effort from yourself even when it doesn't seem possible. Number 3, stop worrying about what other people think of you. Number 4, deliberately place yourself in challenging situations where failure seems likely. And number 5,
question everything. I think those are phenomenal. If you want to elaborate on them, we still have time,
you know,
but I think it'll be worth it.
It's convicting. It's convicting to even hear you say those back to me as a guy who spent 4 years writing the book. Think about the number of times where we avoid uncomfortable situations. We avoid uncomfortable conversations. We spend a lot of time agonizing over what people think of us. I live in the Bible Belt, Greenville, South Carolina. There are probably 300 Baptist churches within 10 miles. For those of you who are listening and may not believe me, let me go Google Bible Belt, right? You'll see Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, hundreds. I went to seminary. It is very hard, very, very difficult to not care what other people think about you. In fact, people will say, what are you doing to our family name? Or, we do this a certain way, or we do that a certain way, and how is this going to make us look? Ooh, how many times have you asked yourself that question, or had someone ask you that? How is this going to make us look? And the reality is we spend a lot of time agonizing over how we're going to appear instead of just all out chasing where we want to be. Instead of just like taking action to get closer. Maybe it's, I lived in Washington, D.C. for a long time, and it was amazing to me the number of people who were driving, the latest Jaguar, the latest Mercedes, the latest Maserati. What were they trying to do? They were leasing them and basically broke. But they were trying to create the perception. They wanted people to believe that, I'm a Washington, D.C. heavy hitter because I drive a car that I can't even afford. And, by the way, most of the day it's placed in a parking garage where I'm not really driving it anyways. So, on one hand, it's kind of laughable. On the other hand, it's pretty sad because that person says, I have to get myself into debt. I have to do all of this crazy things, jumping through hoops unnecessarily so that somebody who I don't even care about and who definitely doesn't care about me thinks I'm somebody.
So true.
And if we're not careful, these sort of things can happen 100 different ways, every day. So I think the challenge for us is to be aware that, hey, I'm spending too much time caring what other people think about me instead of getting to where I need to be. That's a big one. That's a big one for me. What do you think about, Mary? Which of these is a big one for you?
I agree with you. Number three, stop worrying about what other people think of you. And definitely find a way where you like yourself and make plans so you can be a better person and you like others. You don't have to depend on them liking you. Because once you like yourself,
No, I agree with you. And I'll tell you, it's amazing the number of times that you're feeling down or upset. You're like, man, what's going on? And you just smile at somebody else. What do they do back? They smile back at you. So one of the secrets of if you want to smile, give a smile. It's almost impossible to reach out and smile to someone and not have them smile back at you, right? Because they feel the energy that you had.
And you make somebody else's day. They may be having a rotten day, and by you giving them a smile, you change that perception completely about their day and about you. So they'll definitely smile back. I agree.
And so what you've done is, I talked to someone the other day, what you've done is you've brought them closer to you by making their life easier. What often happens is we say, oh, my life is so bad, you need to help me, instead of saying, hey, what can I do to help you? And along the way, realize the benefit for ourselves. So that's a challenge. That is a challenge. I know it's a big challenge for me. I'm always on the go. I'm moving, pushing, growing. I'm trying to push my own limits. And so it's like all of a sudden it's like now I have to worry about you as well. I'm not trying to be mean, but right? I now got to worry about you. I'm trying to worry about me. But if you want to be successful, then you have to give to others. Another thing I'll share is that being uncomfortable. most of us
and
do
the
things
fact
to
that we have to end the show now because time is up. I hate to give you a smile, but
no.
It's been wonderful, and you have shared so much with the audience. You are really a very knowledgeable, outrageous, giving person, and you have an extraordinary gift, and thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And you have an awesome Father's Day. And to our
that
audience, thank you for being with us, and we'll see you on the call again next month. Have a great rest of the month. Thank you, Dan. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.